You say you did it. I say you didn't. You say you worked hard. I say so did I. You say you worked hard. I say so did I. I say you got lucky. You say I didn't try. So you say it all worked. I say not for me. You say I didn't try. I say you just don't see why. You say I didn't try. I ask, can't you cry? You ask, why should I? I ask as I sigh. Why can't you see it? If we exist as I, too few will make it if we are only I. Folks, that's the whole question in life is how much do we care about others and how much do we sacrifice a little bit to make our world a better place? We're going to talk about all kinds of issues on this show. This is the Lehigh Valley Discourse and WDIY, and I'm your host, Alan Jennings.
Slate Belt isn't the Rodney Dangerfield of Lehigh Valley. It doesn't just get no respect, it barely is recognized as part of the Lehigh Valley. The Slate Belt is commonly known as the boroughs of Wind Gap, Penn Argyle, Bangor, Portland, East Bangor, and Roseto, and it also includes the townships of Plainfield, Washington, Upper Mount Bethel, and Lower Mount Bethel. If you live in Allentown, it will take you almost as long to get to the Slate Belt as it will take you to get to Philadelphia. The Slate Belt gave us Ron Angle, extraordinary landscapes, rolling hills, beautiful bodies of water, Penn Forest. It gave us the 15 minutes of fame brought to the Slate Belt in the form of the research done by the doctor about the diets of people in Roseto. And it gave us Slate. The demand for Slate is gone, and with it, a number of the kinds of things that you need to have happen to make a community work well. Let me just give you a couple of factoids. As an example, the percentage of people who have that don't have high school education in the Slate Belt is about 30% higher than it is in the county overall, which is 10%. 38% of the homeowners and 62% of the renters cannot afford the homes that they're living in. Penn Argyle's unemployment rate, which this is about 3 years old, is about 11%, and the rest of the county it's only 8%. Bangor has some of the same frustrations. Unemployment, 11%. Again, Northampton County, 8%. 12% of Bangor's residents are living below the poverty line. It's 9.8% in Northampton County. And then there's Portland, a little borough of Portland, only several hundred residents. 21% of the residents are living below poverty. I think that's the second highest poverty rate in the Lehigh Valley after the city of Allentown. To be sure, it's a little different from other parts of the Lehigh Valley. It's diverse, it's less diverse, and it voted for Donald Trump. In fact, you might even make the argument that the Slate Belt gave this country President Trump, because Northampton County was a key county that went Trump, and in a state that was very, very slim margin. And Pennsylvania going the other way might have made Hillary Clinton president. While the Lehigh Valley is one of the fastest-growing regions in the Northeast, not much of that growth is occurring in the Slate Belt. And yet, just as the Lehigh Valley has plenty of vehicles passing by because of its interstate highway, I-78, the Slate Belt has interstate highway going through, probably has more cars on it, loaded with trucks, cars and trucks loaded with money, that pass right by. But things are brewing in the Slate Belt, and tonight we're going to talk about that. I'm your host. I'm Alan Jennings. I'm by day, night, weekends, and all my life, really. I'm the executive director of the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley. One time a month, I get the opportunity to host this show. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Plenty brewing in the Slate Belt. I think there's some excitement to talk about. And so I have two of the master brewers with me here in the humble studios of WDIY in South Bethlehem. So I'd like to introduce Janelle Connolly. She's a Penn Argyle Borough Councilwoman, small business woman.
Yeah.
And she is the co-chair of the steering committee of Slate Belt Rising, which we'll talk about in a minute. Also with me, and welcome, Janelle.
Thank you.
Also with me is Stephen Ryder, and he is the director of Slate Belt Rising. So welcome, Stephen, to you.
Thank you, Alan.
You two look like normal people. What's up with that?
I think that a lot of the
people around the Lehigh Valley would consider us as foreign beings as coming from
aliens, almost.
Yeah, the Slave Belt. But we are just like anyone else.
Just regular people, huh?
Very normal. Yeah. If you come and visit our towns and stuff, I think you would realize that. I don't know if Janelle has any additional comments on that, but
you know my point. It's like the Slave Belt. What is that? It's up there, and you know, you're not one of us, and they're not one of you, and all that. What do you think about that, Janelle?
I think we have a lot of common ties to the greater Lehigh Valley. We're a bit isolated up there, and part of that is geography, and part of that is by choice. But I think as we make our way down this way a little more, and the Lehigh Valley makes their way up our way a little more, we're starting to see some more of those common, the commonalities.
Are you both born and raised in the Slave Belt? Lived your whole lives in the Slave Belt?
I am born and raised in Rosetta, which is one of the small boroughs. I lived there for 27 out of the 28 years of my life until recently moving to Phillipsburg, New Jersey.
You got married.
I did get married.
But you went to college where? At East Stroudsburg?
I graduated high school from Pius X High School, which is in Bangor. Some would say Rosetta. And I went to East Stroudsburg University.
Janelle?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Pinardel. Spent my entire life there. We kind of had a choice about 10 years ago whether or not to leave or stay. And ultimately, we decided it was worth staying, and not only staying, but fighting for. So,
and running for office and being part of the government and decision-making process. Where did you go to college?
Many places. So I chose to do most of my schooling here. Yeah, I'm one of those. simply because I've never really decided what I was going to do when I grow up. So
have you decided yet?
No.
So where did you get your degree from?
Northampton Community College, and then Penn State Lehigh Valley.
So you really have been in the
Yeah.
I don't know if this is an interesting fact. Pennsylvania has the largest percentage of its population that has been born, lived their entire lives, and died in the state. There's something kind of quaint and sweet about that. There's also something terribly I don't know what you would call it, but man, you got to get out there, you know. I think a lot of people think of the Slave Belt as almost as like Schuylkill County. And Schuylkill County, I mean, their mall shut down. Slave Belt doesn't come anywhere near that level of challenge. So, what in your mind? What are the challenges, the problems that exist in the Slave Belt?
I think you touched on it briefly earlier. I think you have a lack of education. I think there's a lack of job training, and I think there's a lack of jobs. If you look at the income levels and the poverty rates and things like that, maybe it's a lack of transportation to jobs. We do understand that there's a lot of people living in the Slave Belt that travel outside of the Slave Belt to work. So I think there's a combination of issues with that, a lot revolving around jobs, the availability of jobs, and the education level of our workforce.
I think another facet to that is that we haven't really had access to the funding that a lot of, the other parts of the state have had after they've lost major industries. Slate was kind of, it's an auxiliary use. It was used, industrially first and then for housing later on. But we didn't have that urgency that the coal towns had and the steel towns had to kind of help that rebound. The national conscience wasn't there to help Slate towns recover.
And at one point, something like half of the slate produced in the country was produced in a little old Slave Belt.
In the world.
Yes, it was. And
which means that when it goes down, the whole community is going to be in deep trouble.
So we've been trying to reinvent ourselves because after slate was textiles, and now we're moving into a new renaissance and finding our identity again.
So what's so special about the Slave Belt? Why would you stay there for your entire lives?
For me, I mean, a majority of my family is from there, so it's very family-oriented. It's quiet. The pace might be a little bit slower as compared to some other places, so, I mean, the answer was easy for me. Just a comfort that you have in the region and knowing the people that you're working with across all the municipalities is a big reason for me to stay there.
Janelle, what's so special?
there's a lot of things that are special. I love that, you know, when you were looking at the Lehigh Valley, Sleep Belt has a great stock of affordable housing. We kind of hit that, you know, the 150,000 to 200,000 mark for housing that we're not seeing hit in the greater Lehigh Valley. And we still have good historic housing stock. It's easy to live there. The schools are good. We kind of joke that, you know, you get private school education for, you know, public school pricing where we are. You know, we've got the Appalachian Trail. There's a lot to do if you're seeking those things out. One of the challenges of living there is trying to get the rest of the residents on board with, you know, how great things still are. Because when your daily grind is, you know, trying to put food on the table and figuring out, you know, not if you're going to buy it, but which food bank you're going to that week, it's hard to, you know, take advantage of the good things that are there.
Just getting there is, if you go up 611 to get there, as opposed to, 33 doesn't have the same appeal, but 611 is just a spectacularly beautiful ride. We talked about having some kind of a big bicycle race on those rolling hills. I mean, that would be just a really terrific place for one of those big time, you know, bicycle races, you know. I think the place is beautiful. My daughter, who's in her mid-30s, just put her house on the market. She had it listed for something like $250,000, and within a week she had sold the house for more than she had it listed at. And that's the price range that you're talking about, Janelle. And So, you know, people who are looking for a place to live, that is a lovely place. It gets more snow, which I think is an advantage. I'm a snow guy. And you ought to promote it as a place for skiers. You know, it's almost like the lodge for Blue Mountain, right? So, there's a lot you can get an affordable place to live up there. As you said, the schools are good. They're very competitive. They teach, you know, sports and everything, and that competitiveness, I think, is a good thing. You know, people try to be the best that they can be in whatever they're doing, and the schools have a good history of that. So what's bad about when people complain about your community, what's the problem here?
I think that it all depends who you talk to.
Don't talk like a Chamber of Commerce guy. You gotta like
right. I think there is an issue with drug use and abuse and stuff, but you have that all across the Commonwealth. I don't think we're any different than other regions.
They haven't been harder hit on the opioid thing. I got that
poverty. The level of poverty we have and the level of unemployment definitely exacerbates any issue we have with drug abuse in our region. It's, you know, a lot of the drug-related crimes are also related to income and poverty. So it's, you know, we have that kind of compounds the issue where we're at. And, yeah, I would say that we're probably, you know, per capita a little bit harder hit right now.
Your husband is a cop.
Yes.
Can you contrast his experience as a cop with what the experience of a cop in Allentown would go through? I mean, is his life comparable? Is it easier? Is it more threatening? Do you worry when your husband goes off to work in his uniform?
That's kind of a multifaceted question. I always do. You just do. It's one of those things as a police officer's family.
You think
worry
in
about.
Normacunji Township, you'd be nervous if your husband went off to work?
Yeah,
in his...
I think no matter where it was.
Really? Okay.
But what happens in the Slate Belt is that, you know, because resources are so scarce, you know, all the police officers in our region are doing, you know, they're counseling and they're doing, you know, helping people get help for drug addiction where they've got entire departments within Allentown City that do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're forced to both be, you know, the person that regulates things and the person who does that outreach, and that can be difficult.
How often has he drawn his gun?
More often than I'd like to hear about. But it's usually not eventful, and I think this is, you know, across the board, they draw their guns. It's just one of those things.
I don't associate the Slate Belt with crime. You can count drug abuse perhaps, but you know, when you don't have a lot to do and you drugs have gotten cheaper, and you know, I'm not dismissing it, but you just don't hear about violence and crime up in the Slate Belt.
And we don't have those. We don't have the random acts of violence in our community like we see other places. There aren't, that really isn't. That's a commonality in Lehigh Valley in general. Most of what we see anymore is drug related, and you know, I've got my opinion of different ways of, you know, to lessen that that a little bit and make sure that, you know, a lot of times police are that first line of defense when it shouldn't be. And, you know, our crimes in the Slate Belt are drug related for the most part.
The politics of the Slate Belt. I was pretty mad the day of the election when I found out that Northampton County, loaded with Democrats, went Trump. And I remember, you know, driving up the Route 512 and what were they calling it, the Trump Highway or something like that. I mean, I never saw the – I thought there was no chance that this guy could possibly win. And then I'd start heading up to Slate Belt. I'm thinking, uh-oh. what is it about – I mean, now, let me just also be clear. Anybody who thinks that I only hire liberals can – I got my best reputation in the studio with me right now, and that is my director of the Slate Belt Rising, Steve Ryder, who is a Trump conservative, diehard in his position. You've got more Democrats than you have Republicans in the Slate Belt, and yet the two House members of the House of Representatives are both Republicans – pretty conservative Republicans, in fact. And the state senator up there, Mario Scavello, is also a Republican. And yet it's a Democratic region. Stephen, you worked for Senator Scavello. So I'm just curious, what do you think is going on here that you have Democrats voting Republican? Why don't they just change parties? Or why don't they vote Democrat? You know, what's going on here?
I think it's a lot of old school conservative Democrats still living in the area. They're still very conservative socially, and fiscally for that matter. So I think that's where a lot of that comes from. I also want to touch that although I am a Trump conservative Republican, I can work with anyone, which is I'm able to work with Alan. So.
And me, the bleeding heart liberal.
Yeah.
Janelle is the token liberal.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
But I think, especially working for Senator Scavello, he taught me that I have to work with both sides of the aisle if we want to accomplish anything. And I think that's what we're doing in the Slate Belt. And I think that's what we've been working on. But as far as the voting, I would say conservative Democrats are voting Republican in the Slate Belt.
And as anybody, I mean, do you hear, Janelle, I guess I'd be asking you this more. Does anybody show any remorse? I mean, like fellow Democrats they've got to be saying, oh, what did I do here? Please tell me that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm finding is that it was largely an election where people voted on issue. So when that happens and the issues they felt would be addressed by a certain candidate start to, you know, lose that weight, they do begin to have a little remorse.
Were they voting for Trump or were they voting against Hillary?
I think for a lot of them, they were voting against Hillary.
So what do you think is going to happen in this presidential cycle? Do you, Stephen, you're probably hoping that they stay right. And mm-hmm. Do you think Donald Trump deserves re-election? Just out of curiosity.
I think I honestly think
your employment with my agency, right?
Yeah, I do. But I think that he has done enough to still have support from a lot of people in the country. And I think depending on the candidate that's running against him, I think it would still be difficult to beat him in the 2020 election.
And you expect that, okay, in the Slate Belt that the you think he'll hold on to those votes?
I think he will.
Yeah. Janelle, you're doing everything you can to not let that happen, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's my job to make sure that what they see as Democrat policy is positive in their community, and that's my job on the local level.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY 88.1 on the FM dial, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Neil Heaver is over there. He's the guy that makes everything work around here. He's the producer guy. Doesn't get nearly enough credit. If it weren't for Neil Heaver, I don't think WDIY would exist. So, Neil, way to go. We're going to take a quick break. I'm your host. I'm Alan Jennings. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. Stick around.
The many choices and real voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. I get to do this once a month, and I have a lot of fun doing it, and I appreciate the station giving me the opportunity to do it. I'm kind of the token liberal around here, I think, and my guests tonight are Janelle Connolly, Penn Argyle Borough Council, and a small businesswoman and lifelong resident of the Slate Belt, and Stephen Ryder, who is the director of a little effort called Slate Belt Rising, and he, too, is a lifelong resident of the Slate Belt. So we're talking about the Slate Belt. I think it has the potential to be the next hip place to go if we can just keep at what we're doing. But let's talk about the market for a minute. You're kind of forgotten up there. You're not the Poconos. You don't feel quite like you're part of the Lehigh Valley. So how do you guys think of yourselves? Is the Slate Belt its own little world and everybody's like, who needs you? We're fine without you. Or is it think of itself as Lehigh Valley, or does it think of itself as Poconos? How does it see itself, do you think?
I think we largely identify as the Slate Belt region, our own separate entity. Like you said, not the Poconos, right below the Poconos, a little farther north than most would consider the Lehigh Valley. I think where we are at is a day trip, recreational opportunity. There's a lot of work happening with Mincy Lake through Northampton County and other recreational work. We have the Appalachian Trail. We have
the river.
The river
right through
that
Portland.
Goes through Portland and along Upper Mount Bethel Township, Lower Mount Bethel Township. So I sort of see us as a recreation-oriented location. We are starting. We have a craft brewery in downtown Bangor now. So we are starting to see some newer ideas sprout up and move from the Easton Nazareth area up into the Slate Belt.
You don't have a Wegmans. You don't have a minor league baseball team or a hockey team for that matter. You don't have a Costco. So where do you go to shop?
Easton Nazareth.
Easton?
I mean, we do have our grocery stores and smaller markets and stuff throughout the Slate Belt, so I wouldn't consider us necessarily a food desert or anything by any means. But I would say a majority of the people that are working outside of the Slate Belt stop on their way home, and they're shopping elsewhere.
Do you think they're shopping online because it's a half-hour drive to Lehigh Valley Mall, or do you think they're driving to Lehigh Valley Mall?
I believe that you have a lot of people shopping on Amazon doing online purchases. I would say that is the case a lot of the times.
What about entertainment? What do you do for entertainment? I mean, I kind of pictured, did you see the movie Sweet Home Alabama with, what the entertainment was there? So what do people do for kicks?
It depends on what they're interested in. I mean, we're still close enough that, driving down to Easton is...
Because you have a movie theater.
We do.
And I've seen, I think, first-run movies there on the sign-ups, haven't I?
Yeah, and we've recently done some work there with some other organizations in the Slate Belt to kind of help them get the equipment they needed to continue showing movies. It's something we think is important to keep in the area. But, as far as what we have, it's mostly environmental. So if you like hunting or fishing or, riding the trails, we're a good place to be. And we're close enough proximity to leave our area and head down to Bethlehem or Easton and, enjoy what's down here.
Are the kids that you grew up with, your best friends in fourth grade or seventh grade, are they still around too? Or do you see lots of people leaving the area, or are you, is everybody like you? This is my home, this is where I grew up, I love it here, I'm staying here.
I graduated with a class of 35 kids.
Wow.
At Pius, and I would
say... I had
say,
35 kids in my math class.
Right, and I would say our class is probably split. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty even split of people who went away to college and either... didn't return, or they moved south and found more job opportunities in the southern states. But I would say we're pretty even as far as people leaving and staying.
I graduated from EMAS High School in 1976, and something like 90% of my class still lives in Lehigh County, mm-hmm. which just blows me away, and that includes me. Unfortunately, very few of them show up for the reunions, but because I'd love to see them more, but... It's amazing how many people stay in the same region. I would have thought that, especially kids that go off to college and find, you know, hip places, you know, Washington's a cool place, you know, and Baltimore can be cool and Boston's cool and, you know, a lot of places like that. But there's obviously something very, you know, magnetic, if you will, about the. About
I think there's also the missing demographic phenomenon, too, where we kind of lose the 18 to 34 year olds, but they come back. And, you know, it's not isolated here. It's worldwide. They see this in small communities. And it's definitely prevalent in the Slate Belt, where those of us who are professionals, you know, we tend to leave in our 20s when, you know, that's a prime workforce age. And we come back when we're in our 30s and settled back
raise
down
your family.
In this community. So, but it's a prominent issue. It's, you know, yeah, we're here and we're back in our 40s, but we're losing that prime workforce age and, and they're going elsewhere.
So the municipalities, you know, you've got, what is it, nine?
Ten
that are called the Slate Belt, are part of the Slate Belt. We're going to get into Slate Belt Rising in just a minute, but prior to Slate Belt Rising, was the relationship among those municipalities competitive? Was it friendly? Was it collaborative? How would you characterize those relationships prior to Slate Belt Rising?
I'll take that one.
I would say it was competitive because you have the municipalities pretty much split down the middle. You have rival school districts, Bangor and Panargel school districts. So I think you would have a lot of competition across all facets of the game, whether it's businesses, whether it's, again, a lot of it I think is driven by the school districts, but businesses and workforce and stuff like that. When it was originally settled, you had people from Italy and Rosetto, you had the Welsh, you had Germans, Irish, sort of a melting pot in the Slate
Belt.
Working
class, so that's right.
It goes way back before Janelle and I were even around and probably thought of.
I think there was a dire need just for necessity to begin to collaborate a little bit. And, you know, the municipalities and the administration there, at least in Bangor and Panargel, you know, the two biggest players in the Slate Belt for the most part at that time, realized they kind of needed to start pulling resources, at least on administrative levels. It's always harder for the community to kind of get behind that and follow suit. And we've had some, you know, we started making progress just prior to Slate Belt Rising coming into the picture. And I think, you know, that momentum really carried us forward.
So along comes Slate Belt Rising. Just in the interest of full disclosure, Slate Belt Rising is a project of the Community Action Committee of Lehigh Valley, and I'm the executive director. So I'd really like to ask you to describe Slate Belt Rising, because I don't think WDIY gives me this microphone in order to promote my agency. But we do have a prominent effort going on, I think, up in the Slate Belt. And let me turn to you to explain what Slate Belt Rising is.
Slate Belt Rising is the first multi-municipal neighborhood partnership program through the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development. We have core funders that are Merchants Bank of Bangor, Waste Management, ESSA Bank of Trust, Lafayette Ambassador Bank, and we are growing our number of partners. Northampton County is a huge partner for us, and we cover a variety of things from youth engagement initiatives. We help start a regional field hockey clinic, the Slate Belt Police Activities League. We were instrumental in helping to form. We do a variety of things, landlord and tenant rights and responsibilities trainings. We work with other CACLV programs to help with the countywide housing rehab program, first-time homebuyer seminars, commercial and residential facade work that we're also working on. And then our regional cooperation aspect. So trying to get everyone to work together towards a common goal are the major aspects of our program.
You want to chime in, Janelle, as co-chair?
Yeah, I mean, he hit a lot of the key points. I think Slate Belt Rising, more than anything, has given us the ability to be really consistent in our efforts. It's created a platform where we can put money behind what we want to do, and that wasn't possible in the prior attempts at doing this and getting people together. It's great to be the first multi-municipal MPP. You know, that kind of gets us a whole lot of attention to begin with. And, you know, it is we're getting things done, and it's showing in the community, and we're heading into the third year programming now, where we really have momentum behind what we said we were going to accomplish, you know, with CACLV, and I couldn't be happier about the direction we're heading.
You know, there's much more need than we have money to address, but we also find ourselves, oddly enough, sometimes having difficulty finding people. We know there are plenty of them out there who need help, who don't know, who are, like, I guess, too proud to accept the help. But it's an interesting, and some, I'm sure, would think that's a great trait. But, you know, if you've got a property that's devaluing and you live next to somebody else who's doing everything they can to take care of that property, you know, I don't think it's right for you to not, you know, not deal with your side of that that equation. So let's talk about field hockey. How does field hockey fit into community development?
Well, our field hockey clinic that we hosted last year was the first year we hosted it. And the ultimate goal is to have a regional Slate Belt team participate in local leagues. So that helps with community development, because I spoke about the rival school districts. So now we have a regional field hockey program that we're trying to start, and you have kids from Bangor and Penardral school districts
playing on the same team.
Playing on the same team. So you have their parents mingling. So that sort of ties in with our regional approach too, because now people are starting to talk. They have a common goal, that whether it's to help their kids with field hockey or move a common program forward. That's how I would say it ties in with.
I think you've also got a pretty strong workforce development argument there, because field hockey is a girls' sport. Mm-hmm. And there's this great law, if you're a parent and have daughters, it's a great law called Title IX, which essentially requires institutions of higher education to level the playing field with respect to resources invested in sports between men and women's sports. So, you know, Emmaus High School, which is perennially, I mean, you got to hate them, right? I mean, they blow everybody out of the, I mean, the university, UConn's women's basketball team wishes they were, I think, Emmaus High School's field hockey team. Every girl on that team gets a Division I shot. Every one of them, even the kids that sit on the bench, they are that good. And so I would argue, too, that, I mean, I loved it when, Janelle, was it you or was it Stephanie that that proposed the field hockey thing?
This was actually
our first Heather Fisher, our first committee chair for our youth engagement committee.
I mean, I think it's a great idea. And you know, if we can send girls off to get the great education and hope that with everything we've got that they come home, they come back, that's a good thing. That's a win for the borough. County? I mean, Lamont McClure has been pretty rock solid in support of us. Let's talk about what the county has provided in terms of support that's helped us move the ball downfield.
Lamont has been great. I mean, that's part of what he ran on in helping the Slate Belt, and I can say that he's definitely held true to his word, because he's been more than willing to come up and discuss what we're working on and how they can help us at the county. Also, Tina Smith, Mark Hartney, and the Northampton County DCED staff have been phenomenal. I have the figure, and I don't know it off the top of my head, but just for instance, for residential and commercial facade work alone, they've provided us with over $120,000 in community investment partnership program grants. So that in and of itself is just a huge contribution that we're seeing. Hotel tax grants for marketing and promotion of the region. This year we received, I believe, $20,000. So they have been just phenomenal partners for us as a Slate Belt Rising program, and been available whenever we have needed them.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. This is 88.1 on your FM dial. I'm Alan Jennings. I'm your host, and my guests this evening are Janelle Connolly, borough councilwoman in Penn Argyle, and the co-chair as a volunteer of the steering committee of Slate Belt Rising. And my second guest is Stephen Ryder, who happens to work at the Community Action Committee of Lehigh Valley, making Bangor and Penn Argyle, Portland, and Wingap hopefully a better place to live and play and raise your kids. So thanks again to both of you for being here. What do you think is the Slate Belt's best asset going forward? You know, what is it that's going to make the Slate Belt thrive? You know, because typically in economic development, you build on your strengths, right? I mean, you can't just create something and say, we're now that, you know. So what do you think is the best sale point for the Slate Belt going forward?
I think we have the potential to preserve a lot of the open space that we already have. We're in a position where we haven't been overdeveloped like we see in Lehigh County. The lower Northampton County development hasn't quite gotten up our way yet. So we're in a position to really preserve what we have already. The other thing is we've got places where we can develop. We've got, parts of land up in Upper Mount Bethel that are, it's where we want development. And our communities are still really strong and really, our housing market is a great place. It's a good place to buy and a good place to live. So I think, starting to build on those things and allowing people to see the opportunity that we have there without having to completely reinvent the wheel, just building on what we know is already there is a great place to go when we're looking at economic development. And also riding the wave of, e-commerce is kind of swinging things back around to small businesses. So, we're seeing a trend where people are shopping a little more local than they used to. The Slate Belt tends to be, we call it a weekday economy. So when people come home from work at 5 o'clock, they're not leaving again to go back out. So things that we can meet needs for during the week are going to be a strong point for us moving forward.
We're listening, you are listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY. WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's national public radio station. I'm your host. I'm Alan Jennings. I work for the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley. And my guests tonight, again, are Janelle Connolly, Penn Argyle Councilwoman, and Stephen Ryder, Director of Slate Belt Rising. We're going to take another quick break. Please stick around. We've got plenty more to talk about. The Slate Belt is happening.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, listener-supported Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm Alan Jennings, your host. Tonight, we're talking about the Slate Belt in northern Northampton County. I have with me in the studio Janelle Connolly, who is a small businesswoman, but also a borough council member in Penn Argyle, and does a lot of volunteer work as one of the co-leaders along with Stephanie Steele, who is a borough councilwoman in Portland, working with Slate Belt Rising. And also with me is Slate Belt Rising's director, Stephen Ryder, who comes to us via Mario Scavello. And Stephen, your steering committee seems to love you, so don't screw it up.
I'll try not to.
Attaboy, good. That's good. All right, we at the break, we were talking about the Slate Belt's best asset going forward. I think certainly the affordability of the housing stock, it's not perfect, but it's a lot better than it is in much of the rest of the Lehigh Valley. I think that's something we have going for it. I think the Amazonization of the United States economy is going to hurt suburban communities. It's going to hurt the big boxes. It's going to take out the Walmarts and the Targets. And I think it almost creates an opportunity for the quaint shops of older municipalities, and so that's why we do things like fix up facades and streetscape and so on. So in Bangor, I mean, a former borough council president told me she thought, and this is a lifelong resident too, she thought that that Bangor looks as good as she ever remembered it looking. And we didn't put that much money in. We don't have that much money, but I think it's been strategic investments. Portland has a huge potential to be just a really like almost postcard style go-to place. The river is right there. It's got a little cool building that's a former train station. Ducklow's is there. So what are we doing, for example, in Portland? What can people look forward to coming out of the work that we're doing in the borough of Portland?
We are coming to the end of a process that we are creating a revitalization plan for the borough of Portland. In our eyes, I think we agree with you, Alan. There's no reason we can't have a quintessential river town. I mean, you look at New Hope in Pennsylvania, Washington Crossing, that area, Lambertville, New Jersey. They're all quaint river towns, and we don't see why that can't be Portland. So we contracted with, or I should say the borough contracted with Triad Associates.
With funding
from Sleep Out Rising and Northampton County funding to create a revitalization plan for the borough. That process is coming to an end, so we'll have our final product by the middle or end of April. And I think you'll have a lot of people say, all these plans, maybe not necessarily enough action. But this is something that we're hoping we can take and really start to implement. And the plans will make us eligible for more funding to help with implementation.
And if you don't do the plan, you know, you're going to scattershot. I mean, I hope most people would understand why a plan is a good idea. Then we come to Penarjo. And do you have any sense of the kinds of things that, because, I mean, the boroughs have been great. I mean, you know, everybody's understood Bangor was in the toughest shape. It's the biggest borough. We'll let Bangor go first. Portland's got pretty tough shape. It's a smaller borough, lots of potential. Penarjo is a little bit more of a challenge. It doesn't have an obvious central business district. Have you all thought about what direction this might take you or you might want it to take you?
Yeah, so we're heading into a planning year, just much like Portland has, you know, had in the prior year. And for us, it was also essential. And I mean, you know, I'm a huge fan of planning as well. I think it's a great way to find out.
The Valley Planning Commission.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, but it's a great way to kind of get a sense of the direction you need to go. For Penarjo, you know, Bangor still had a good proximity to the years where it had a thriving downtown. They were about a decade removed from that when they started their rehabilitation. Penarjo is about 2 to 3 decades away from having, you know, what we had in our downtowns that was thriving. So for us, we've kind of, you know, we're having to completely revisit who we are and what we want to offer our residents and what that means for the general economy in the Slate Belt. But I think that, you know, we want to move toward having a downtown that serves our community mostly. We may not ever be that shopping destination that we hope Bangor becomes. But, you know, we definitely want to serve the needs of the residents that we have and, you know, build out our service industry, which is already strong.
And this is being done with a plan that started the whole thing, and a plan had substantial community input and so on. And that plan, by the way, can be found on the Rising, on Slate Belt Rising's website, which is
slatebeltrising.org.
Okay. Which takes me to the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. The Planning Commission has for some time wanted to do a comprehensive multi-municipal plan for the Slate Belt. They now have the resources to make that happen, in part because we chipped in the final piece, which was around $45,000. What do you anticipate is going to come out of that process, which is obviously different than, you know, a little borough business plan or whatever?
That whole process, Sleep Out Rising had set out to do a regional economic development plan. It just so happens that the amount of money that we were being offered for funding for that plan from Lafayette Ambassador Bank was nearly the exact amount that was needed to complete the regional comprehensive plan.
Makes you feel like divine intervention, you better not get in the way, right?
Right. So we saw this as an opportunity because although we're focused in the four boroughs, this gave us an opportunity to work on something with all the Slate Belt municipalities, something that they've all been working towards, something that they all want. And it would enhance our product, and it's something that we could all use. And there's a lot that could come out of this, not just economic development wise. If you're looking at market studies and walkability and traffic, and it's really the full range.
And they're going to look at consolidating municipal services, mm-hmm. right? Which is something I think is long overdue. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got four very, I mean, even Bangor, I think is that's only 5,900 or something like that individuals.
Yeah, right around there.
Portland is 500 something, I think, or it's certainly under 1,000. How do you sustain a police force? How do you get enough money to pay your borough manager, much less, you know, the street cleaning or the street, you know, clearing for the snow and so on? So my hope is that comprehensive planning effort will also take us down the road of the feasibility, hopefully because of efficiencies. Of having a regional code enforcement office, a regional planning office, and you know there are other possibilities there too. As a council, an elected councilwoman, Janelle, do you think the Slate Belt is or its individual municipalities are ready for that, or do you think we're going in the direction where they will be? What do you think?
I think we're at the point where we're all kind of realizing that anywhere we can eliminate duplication is going to benefit us all. There's some embedded social aspects to some of these utilities that we don't often realize, and especially we see that with our fire departments in the region where, you know, we kind of need to address the fact that they've been a social staple as well as a utility to the communities. Yeah. So combining those is often met with a bit of resistance. Police departments, we know that funding is it's becoming difficult for smaller departments, and it's probably a direction we need to look at, you know. We have a regional initiative already.
Your husband's a cop in the regional police force,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was employed in Bangor and came over to the Slate Belt Regional Department last summer. And part of the draw for him was that it was a larger department where he, you know, there was a bit more services offered because of that regionalization. And I think moving forward into the future, no matter what it looks like, it may not always be like, you know, let's combine all these departments, give it one name and call it a day. But there will be some sort of collaboration.
Well, let's go one step further. How about if we dissolve all the municipalities and call it Slate Belt and really...
Who's rolling over in their grave for that one? I don't
good
know.
Good luck with that one, I think.
And probably the thing that would get in the way most is that you wouldn't have... I mean, because the school districts, you could argue, should be one.
Yeah.
What's the size of the graduating class of Penn Argyle High School?
At its largest, it hovers right around 120. It's usually right around 100.
Yeah, I graduated.
And that hasn't changed in 20 years.
There were 500 in my graduating class in 1976, you know. So, but, you know, you try to propose that the Green Knights no longer are going to fight the Slaters?
Slaters.
Right. And boy, I mean, they have fierce rivalries. But, I mean, Liberty and Freedom still fight it out. Allen and Dierup still fight it out. Why do they have to be different school districts to lose that competitive, you know, craziness, you know?
That's a good point, Allen. I mean, we're going into their 100th meeting this year for football. So it's a very storied rivalry. And
but it doesn't
I don't know that right. Yeah, I just don't know that
There's also
I think it would be a tough sell.
There's some misconceptions about what combining these things looks like. And, mm-hmm. you know, like I mentioned with the fire department, but we have the same thing with the school districts. You know, we're not always seeing that bigger picture of, you know, you don't have to lose your identity to work together. And we see that with Slate Belt Rising. It was a big resistance we had going into this project where, you know, so many were so worried about losing their individual appeal as a community. And, you know, we've kind of proven that wrong, that we can work together, we can expand and include, you know, even more people and still keep that autonomy in our individual identities.
Tax rate. I should have looked into this before this session. I live in Allentown School District, so you understand that I'm not troubled by paying for public education. What is the relative tax? Are the two Slate Belt school districts taxes higher or lower than the surrounding districts? Do you know?
I know Panardal is substantially lower than the median. Bangor's right there, I think.
I would say they're both competitive and affordable. I know I'm paying taxes in New Jersey now. So when compared to the Slate Belt, it's definitely affordable.
As we continue to pursue resources and rebuild the effort, the people who are making it happen, tell me about how decisions are made, who the people are that are making those decisions, and what kind of help you might need beyond that.
We have 6 committees, 5 subcommittees, 1 steering committee. We have very active volunteers, which has been great. Our volunteers have been focused and they've been working well together. As far as being backed by CACLV and being such a strong organization themselves, I know I've said it to you multiple times, Alan. The resources that they provide us really allow us to go after that extra funding, such as planning and grant writing and stuff. All of that stuff that is done in-house at CACLV has been huge for us. The decisions are pretty much unanimous. If you come to any of our meetings, everyone's agreeable to what we're working on and discussing. There might be some pushback here and there, but by the end of the meeting, I would say we're at a unanimous decision.
I remember might have been the first meeting of the steering committee when Stephanie Steele, who is Janelle's co-chair, who was unable to be with us this morning and was this evening, partly because I was late in asking. But she came after me the first meeting because I suggested we concentrate resources in Bangor in the first year because Bangor was in such trouble. And I was afraid to walk to my car. but she has become, I think, as solid a supporter as anybody has, which says a lot, I think, about the changing attitude, if you will, or the culture, maybe even certainly the mindset of people in terms of the Slate Belt as a region, as a community that can be a better community working together. And I think you see that in just about everybody on that steering committee, right?
Yeah, I think in Portland, I always like to say is that they're that community that they'll fight fiercely for you if you need them to. And they've always been that way. They're the community that's not afraid, and I say community, but they're representatives. So we have Lance and we have Stephanie. Neither one of them are afraid to oppose something they feel they should. And they're refreshing to have.
So you're the guy that's got to make all this work. How's your stress level these days?
Well, I was actually at the doctor this morning and my blood pressure was 118 over 98. So I think that's relatively good.
Good. And you weigh only about 120 pounds or
yes,
something?
Yes, exactly. I'm in the best shape of my life. I say certain days are more stressful than others. I get along with everyone that I work with. I enjoy working with everyone. So I wouldn't say that I'm overstressed, but there are days when I guess I could use some extra help and with everything that's going on, just overseeing all the committees and all the different projects.
You mentioned the volunteer support in a positive way. If people listening to the show wanted to help, would you have a place for them as volunteers?
We are always looking for additional volunteers. We will take anyone's input. So they can contact me directly. All my contact information is on our website. So if anyone's interested in volunteering, we'd be happy to have them. And that's my direct line. So if you call me, I will be the one that's answering.
I'll take them on youth engagement.
Yeah, exactly.
We're a program-heavy committee. We'll take them all.
So we're now in the third year of a 6-year campaign. And just to be clear, I have every intention of making it a 12-year campaign, maybe even an 18-year campaign, because, you know, this isn't going to get all resolved overnight. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes resources. So going forward, I have every intention of making sure that we can continue this work. I don't know where we get additional funding because, I mean, as I said earlier, there's nowhere near enough money to do all the things that we really need to do. You're going to be doing a fundraising campaign directed at businesses in the Slate Belt.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping to raise $15,000 or so through that.
Yes.
So if you are a business owner in the Slate Belt region and you want to help make a difference, again, you can go to the Slate Belt Rising website, slatebeltrising.org, and connect with Stephen Ryder, who is going to be quick to do whatever he can to engage your support. Stephen's been widely praised by the volunteers, and we appreciate the work you've done. But even more, Janelle, you're doing it as a volunteer. And, you know, Stephen doesn't get paid a lot, but he is paid for the job, and you're not. So I want to thank you, and I want to thank your colleagues that have made this all possible. We've got a lot of work to do. Hopefully we get it done, and we get it done quickly, because we all deserve a decent place to live in a community that we can call home and be proud of. And I think we're moving in that direction in Slate Belt. So Janelle Connolly from Penn Argyl Borough Council, Stephen Ryder, the director of Slate Belt Rising, thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Alan.
You've been listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. I look forward to next month's show. Thanks very much.